Job chapter 4 and verse 3. He said, "Behold, thou hast instructed many, Job. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was fallen. Thou hast strengthened the feeble knees." Notice that word hast. "Behold, thou hast in times past, Job, you've instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands," and he's pointing toward the past. "Thy words have upholden him that was fallen." Job, man, you just have the word. Your words were like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Job, your words were just music to my ears at times. "Thou hast have upholden him that was fallen, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees." But now, he brings it down to the present. "But now, Job, the tables are turned. It has come upon thee, Job, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy. Lord, I need your help tonight. Physically, Lord, I could use a touch from the Lord. I pray, God, give me clarity of thought and clear up your speech, Lord, and let me say tonight exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say. Nothing more, nothing less. In Christ's name we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. I want to preach on, can you preach to yourself? When you look at this, of course, man, old Job is he's a man among men, isn't he? I mean, he is just, I don't know about anybody else here, but a lot of times charismatics, they just can't hardly stand the book of Job. I mean, they just look at it and they want to say, well, that wasn't in the original text, you know, and they use all kinds of belittlement and all that, but I don't know about all that, but I do know this, that Job, at times in my life, in my lowest times, Job has helped me. Job's story has inspired me through times of difficulty. We've always, you know, we pointed back at Job to others, haven't we? You know, man, I know you're going through it rough, but you ain't lost 10 children. You might have just lost one, but look at Job. I mean, he's ever done that. I mean, he's ever got help from the book of Job. Really, seriously. I mean, there have been times in your difficulty and times, you know, you may not think about Job when you're on top of a mountain when everything's going great, but it's when you're in that trial, it's when you're in that conflict that you can't see, I mean, your hand in front of you, so to speak. You're wondering like Job, God, why did you put a light at the end of the tunnel when it's at the end? I don't understand this. But we've all gained strength from Job's life, especially when you first read these first two chapters, man. I was reading one day some years ago. I read where he rose up in verse 5. He rose up early in the morning. And the Bible said he worshiped God. And then over there, amen, in the latter part of that chapter, chapter 1, it says after everything that happened, all the ox, all the sheep, all the asses, all everything that he possessed was gone, even his own flesh and blood, even his own children, the 7 sons and the 3 daughters were totally wiped away. The Bible said he fell down and done what? Worship, not whined. He worshiped. I mean, when you read that, I don't know about anybody else. I mean, I could have rose up if I was a rich man and everything was going my way. I could have rose up early in the morning and worshiped. But what makes Job so great is when you find that you come down to the end of chapter 1, you think, my Lord, I don't know of anybody else that has ever suffered in just in a day the calamity that Job did. And then it says he fell down in verse number 20 upon the ground in what? Worshiped. His trial did not steal his worship. Boy, how many times have we seen folks come into church in a trial or in a low spot in their life and set sort of in the mully grubs or set, you know, sort of bluer than a fish hook and set really, and I'm not trying to be critical here, but we've all been there, haven't we? But Job was such a man that he rose up early that morning when he had all his sons and his daughters and he worshiped. But later that afternoon, when he lost everything, he fell on the ground and the Bible said, and worshiped. I mean, Job's life. I mean, no wonder the Bible pinned him down as being a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, one that shuns away from evil. I mean, Job, man, you're talking about a man of character. Job was that man. He was a man of character. But I don't really want to preach about him right now, but I got to lead up to where I want to go. Job was a man of character. It touched his stuff in chapter 1, but in chapter 2, it touched his own flesh and blood. All those boys came upon him. Here was the devil talking to God, and they was conversing back and forth. And finally, when his friends come on the scene, they see the grief of Job. They don't utter a word, Brother Job, but sat there and mourned with them for 7 long days. And at the end of those 7 days, Job begins in chapter 3 to unravel such a depression, such a, and we may not have described our hurt and our pain and our sorrow like Job did in chapter 3 in his precise words, but we have in some ways done the same thing as Job. Lord, I don't understand. L.D. Moore preached a message on I don't understand. Years ago at the Highway Holiness, and I've got a tape, and probably out of all the preaching tapes I've got, which is several hundred, one time it was over 1,200, and I gave a bunch away, but every preaching tape I've ever had, I've probably listened to L.D. Moore preach on I don't understand more than any other sermon I've ever heard in my life. Amen. Over and over and over. I don't understand. You ever say that? I don't understand. I'm sure there's some of you sitting right here tonight saying I don't understand why I'm going through this particular situation. Now stay with me. Might not be going to preach what you think, but it might be a little different. But Job, he's going through all that in chapter 3. But then all of a sudden, his friend speaks up in chapter 4. And man, what a friend. He just cuts him to the heart. I mean, he just said, Job, behold, thou hast instructed many and hast strengthened the weak hands. Job, there have been times, Job, you've gave counsel and put marriages back together. There have been times, Job, you have helped those that were in financial difficulty, and your counsel brought strength, and they were able to move on with their life. Job, there was times when it looked like men would fold under the pressure, but a hand on their shoulder and words that came from your lips brought strength to their inner man, and men walked on in life just because of you, Job. By words of upholding him that was the man that was just about to go under and looked like was about to faint under such pressure. Words, you just had the right words. You had the right sermon. Wouldn't you like to have words that could, the Bible calls it in the New Testament, this ain't in my notes, it just come to me. It says, speaking words with season with, thank you Lord, season with salt, that they may minister grace to the hearer. You remember that? Amen. I mean, I like to say words that would be like seasoned with salt. Sometimes when I'm praying about my message, I'm going to preach that, and I say, oh God, let my words be seasoned with salt. God, let them minister, Lord. Let them minister, amen, to the hearer. Amen. In one place, Paul was saying, and I don't know if anybody heard Charles Barnett preach at Allentown 3 or 4 years ago. Man, it was awesome. One of the most, of course, I love Charles Barnett. I love him. I just love to be around him. I can just be inspired just being around Charles Barnett. And I love to hear Wendell Pittman too. Anyways, Charles Barnett preached out of, I looked up that text real quick, but he preached out of the New Testament there. I want to thank Corinthians, but Paul made a statement in there, and it might not be exactly like this, and it's one in my nose, but Paul was saying a statement. He said, I wish I knew how to say it better so you could understand it. Have you ever been like that, brother? Have you ever been a preacher? Lord, help me to say this right. God, let my words, help me. There's times that God gives me messages, or there's times I want to deal with somebody with a situation, and I'm very careful. God, let my words, God, my word, you know, because words can cut to the heart. Again, the Bible said there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Don't think what somebody says. It does. I mean, you can really encourage or you can discourage. You can, I mean, you take a young person, you take a teenager and say something to them, man, you could just cut them right down. Anyways, he's saying, Job, I mean, no, I want you to notice the compliment in this. I mean, now you can't say Eliphaz was wrong here. Because the Bible doesn't say anything about Eliphaz being wrong in this particular text. He said, Job, you have done this. You have instructed many. Man, wouldn't that be a compliment, Brother Earl? Brother Earl, through your ministry, you've instructed many. Brother Earl, there have been times people that had weak hands came and you just strengthened them. Brother Earl, I was about to faint, but I called you on the phone and I was just about to give up. But man, you talked to me on the phone and that just gave me a fresh touch.
Brother Joe, I was just about to go. I was just about to quit. I was about to give up. My wife was backslidden. I felt like I couldn't go on. And I called you, and man, you just had the right words, and your words just strengthened my heart. I felt my shoulders square back and say, "Where you at, devil?" Joe said that God answers me. And here's prayer and answers. And words, Joe, are you with me, Joe? Bone, I'm just using him for an example. Word, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to say that our ex-brother here had words that would uphold somebody that was fallen? You ever be in church and you can see somebody slipping out? You don't got to be a rocket scientist. You don't got to have the nine gifts of the Spirit. You don't got to have the discernment of spirits. Can tell when somebody's getting cold on God. Somebody's they're not as fervent. They're not as faithful. Wouldn't it be good if somebody say of you, amen, whether you were Sister Wanda or Sister Eloise, or and see some young lady or some man just discouraged a phone call? I'm telling you, it's powerful. I ain't got to my message, but hang on here. It ain't nothing wrong being an encourager, is it? I was, where was I at? Yeah, I walked into the a place of business there yesterday. It was me and my wife alone. Alone. The kids got school now. We can be alone. Phew. Whew. All right, that's a different text. Now, y'all don't know nothing about that. We are alone. I said, honey, we're alone. We get to be alone every day. Wow. You know, no children. Let's go out and meet. Let's go get ice cream. Yes, me and you. We'll just buy one. You look on that side, I'll look on. All right, that's a different text. Woo. So anyways, I walked inside. I've been there about 30 minutes, and she sat out in the van real nice, and I made her. I shouldn't have made her wait, but I did, and I apologize. But when I come back out to the van, you know what she was doing? She was sitting there crying, and she was writing a letter to somebody here. She bought a card this morning and rewrote that letter in that card and going to send it to somebody. Trying to be an encourager. I walked out. I said, "What's wrong, honey? What's wrong?" And she mentioned that person's name and said, "I've just been praying for him." Wow. Encourager. Wait a second. These verse 5 says, "But now, Job, it's come upon you." I don't know. I hope y'all get this. Job has come upon thee and you fainted, Job. Job, it toucheth thee now. Trouble, calamity come. And Lord, Job, you're troubled. Wait a second, Job. This ain't right. Job, you've had the right words. You was able to preach to everybody else. But when it come to your house, Job, have you ever seen anybody at church? They knew how to fix everybody else's problem. They could straighten everybody's marriage out. They knew how to straighten everybody's finances out. They knew how to straighten every young person in the church out. They knew how to straighten the preacher out, and the preacher knew how to straighten everybody. I mean, you ever met anybody like that? Okay, just look forward. Smile, don't turn around. Please don't turn around or look over sideways or don't do that luck. Just look forward. Somebody come to your mind right there. Yep, man, he's got their number. Well, I'm preaching to you if you think like that. I don't ever hardly single out to us one. I try to reach us all because we all can use it, whether we're guilty or not. But Job, y'all get this? Eliphaz, but Job, I mean, you almost want to say, man, Eliphaz, he's up there a little bit, man. First two verses there, 3 and 4. I mean, you was complimenting the God, but now, man, you just stuck a dagger in his knife. But now, Job, that's what Eliphaz is saying. Eliphaz is saying, hey, Job, you were able. God helped you. You did all this. But now, Job, the table is turned and troubles come to your house. And Job, you're down. You have fainted, Job. It troubleth you. Wow. I'll tell you, can you preach to yourself the same sermon you preach to everybody else? I'm asking you, can you preach the same sermon, or amen, to yourself? Sometimes, you ever notice folks are a little easier on themselves than somebody else? But my point is this, can you see it? To the man down here that was just not connected to his family 2 long years. Amen. And whether whatever, I'm not getting on if you can or you can't, that's not even my point right now. But then here, this pastor, amen, he did what he did, which was much, much worse. Because the other man did backslide and then get caught up in that. But here's a pastor that caught up with a lady for 6 years in the church and maybe even longer, stays out about 3 years, comes back in praise, and in a couple months preaching again. Hey, that's not right. Come on here now. Amen. I don't want to bust anybody, but that man, boy, he couldn't preach the same sermon he had. He thought, man, he could really dish it out when it was somebody else. that when it came to his own life and his own family, it was a lot easier sermon. I mean, he didn't preach from the King James Version when he was dealing with himself. Come on here now. Y'all getting the picture? I mean, let's go a little bit carnal in a good sense to bring an illustration. Even a politician. Nobody likes a politician that will promise you something when he's running for an office, and then once he gets the office, back off and not live up to what he promised. We call him a liar. We call him a hypocrite. If you ever notice politicians, they always can tell the other side what they need to do. I mean, they got every plan. They got a plan for this. They got a plan for that. And I mean, they can just tell you everything. I just wonder if the table was turned and their side was the president. I'm not, you get the picture there. That's just one. How about a parent? I mean, what kind of parent would tell their children not to drink and then have liquor in the refrigerator? Are you seeing my point here? But what kind of parent would tell their children you don't need to smoke cigarettes, amen, and then have smoke themselves? I mean, if you want to preach something, live what you preach. I don't know how it is around here. I'm not being here long enough, and that's one reason why you can just preach on things. You just don't have any idea, and don't come up to me and say, boy, you sore hit Sally Mae, because I'm not trying to hit Sally Mae or Johnny Joe or whoever. I'm just trying to preach to help folks. Amen. That's why you might preach and it might hurt folks, but I don't want to preach in a way to hurt folks. But sometimes the word of God might just dig on us a little bit, and you go, ow, ooh, ow, what we call stepping on our toes. How many's ever heard that? I don't know how y'all say it down here, but us folks in Kentucky say, I wouldn't want to preach to that every now and then, don't step on my toes. I don't want somebody to preach to me sugar and spice and everything nice. No, every now and then, preacher, make me reach higher. Shine me a brighter light. Get lost in prayer. Get in the Holy Ghost. Let God talk to you. Reach, shine me, because if I'm serious about it. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a church player. I'm true blue. I want to go to heaven. And I tell you one thing we can't be is a hypocrite. We can't preach a message, whether we're a parent or an elder, per elder people preach to younger folks. Elder people love to tell young people how to do. I was preaching a revival. I've preached for 20 years now, over. I know a little bit, not a whole lot though. I'm still learning a lot. I'm not seasoned like Brother McDonald, some of these older ministers, but I could sense in that meeting the first two or three days, man, you know, they was really wanting me to just come down and bust hide, so to speak. And I don't even like to use those terms, and I don't use them personally, only in an illustration like that. I've never bragged on busting hide. I've never, a preacher that brags on when he's busting hide or whatever the case. If he talks like that, I can't stand that. I'm not in, are y'all with me? Okay, that's just my personal little deal. I don't like that. I knew that I could tell that some of the parents, man, they was really wanting me to just come down and sweet nice me about Thursday night of that revival. We had about 20-some teenagers, young folks all across the aisle. They have a big altar call there. You can preach, and they'll pray for a good hour. I'm serious. I mean, just unbelievable. And here they come. I mean, the place crammed. Here's a son over on this side. This was the boy's side. This was the girl's side there, that particular church. And here was a son and a daughter. And I could just sense it. I've been there through the years, and I ain't trying to be mean, but I could sense what they was wanting. Brother Simpson, just come on down with it. Just tell them like it is. Get all of that out of them, you know. Just tell it like it is. But here's his son over here. He's crying. He's hitting the altar praying. I mean, I don't mean he's saying one of those silent prayers, but he's hitting the altar praying. God help me. Oh, God help me. God help me. And his sister's over here on this side. He's about 17 or 15, 17. She's right in that same 17, 18, and she's having problems, and she's beating the altar. Oh, God, please help me. And I look up, and sitting on the second row on this side, and they were sitting on the second row, that boy and girl's mom and dad sitting on the back pew almost, while their son and daughter's up here beating on the altar trying to get help. Somewhere that ain't right. Thank you, Brother Earl. That don't add. Somewhere I'm just like, I'm not too smart, but I'm like, wait a second here. Wait a second. My daughter ain't going to be up there crying and praying, and me sitting in the back, you know, going to the water fountain, balancing my check. No, that's my baby. That's my flesh and blood. That's my girl. That's my boy. I'm going to be up there. Come on, Ike. Come on, Ike. Come on, Hope. Come on, Spirit. Come on, come on, come on. We're with you. We're praying with you. Praying all the way through. Mom and Dad's right here. Come on, come on. But you know what? They sat there through about 45 minutes And I took about as all I could take, and I stepped behind a platform, amen, and I said, bless God. I said, some of you moms and dads, you want me to bust hide on your young folks, but they've been up praying for 30 minutes, and you're sitting back here like a knot on a log. Are you really wanting your children to go to heaven? I don't try to be mean, but truth is truth. And sometimes we need a Jeremiah. Everybody can't be a psalmist, David. And every now and then you got to have a spirit of a Jeremiah or an Isaiah, amen, to come upon you. And thank God, mom and dad, I love it. We're great friends. Got up finally and come out. They picked up on that. Can you believe that? I'm just different. Amen. But I'll tell you something. If you're going to preach something, amen, live it yourself. If you're going to preach, man, our young folks, I wish they'd get in worship. I wish they just wouldn't sit there like a knot on a log. Well, my Lord, hello. Do you worship? Well, if our young folks would get in that altar and just dig and dig. If our young folks would get in that altar, but do you get in that altar and dig? Come on now. Seriously, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just trying to, let's look at this biblical. I mean, if we're preaching to our grandchildren, our children, and we're telling our children, amen, get in, amen, worship God, get in that altar and get everything you can get. And then grandma and papa and mama and daddy never come to the altar. Is this on? Is this on? I just wonder if y'all hear me. I'm asking you, can you preach to yourself? I mean, you can fix everybody else's problems. I had a man in my church, and he's a great guy. But bless his heart. My Lord, it's humorous. I mean, every time somebody come to church with a new vehicle, he sat out in the foyer. I just tell you, I don't know why they want to go buy a new vehicle. And I just don't understand. Said, I've had my old 78, 27 years, and it's got 4,000 miles or 400 million miles on it. And that's a figure of speech, okay? Not literally. But I had to fix it every now and then. I'm like, yeah, once a month. And God just come nag. I said, sometimes I want to say, man, would you please hush? Man, the guy works like a mule. He works 6-7 days a week. I mean, he provides for his family. He pays his bill. He's an honest man. He wants a nice truck, and you want an old love truck? With the muffler tied up with a coat hanger, amen, and you got to use a screwdriver to start it with, bless God, that's fine. Leave the guy alone that wants a nice truck. I mean, he could fix everything. He just could preach. I mean, boy, he could. I mean, you'd have somebody in your church and they'd have marital trouble. We just had a little bit of church, so you sort of knew it, you know. And, man, he could just, I tell you what, if Sally would just do this. So Sally would just quit work, bless God, and stay at the house and just keep the house, bless God. Amen. Sally and John would be just all right, but Sally wants to work. I'm like, mind your own business. A man that takes a dog by the tail, leave the dog still alone. Okay? I mean, I'm going to have enough to work on me. Am I making sense? I mean, it's going to take all my prayer time. Of course, I'm a pastor, but I'm just in this, just in fear. It's going to take enough. I mean, all my prayer. It's going to be just enough to get me and my wife and my children, you know, to hell. It's just going to be good enough. I ain't got time. I can't try to figure it out. I don't have time to figure it out. But you know, there's people that do. Some folks need to stop preaching. My Lord, stop preaching if you're not going to live it yourself. I mean, you know, just like that guy, man, he could tell everybody. But when his wife was having a nervous breakdown, she was one of the most godliest women in our church. I mean, but he could straighten everybody else's marriage out. And I don't mean to be trying to, I'm not being mean on this guy, but he's just a good example. I mean, I just know him. He's a great guy. He's not a bad guy. He's really not. He lives holiness. He's a great guy. But he's just one of them old timers that he thinks that he's God's great counselor to the church. He just think God spoke to him and said, I say unto thee, be the counselor of thy church where they are at. And give thy opinion at the foyer between services and after services. And yea, I will greatly multiply thy joy in heaven. Somewhere he missed it. Can you preach? I'm going to ask you a question before we close. What text would you take for yourself? Thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of life. Is that the text you'd take? Seriously. What text would you take right now? In your life, in your circumstance right now, in your life, what text would you find yourself in? Where is that? What text? Don't say nothing. I'm just, what text? Where would you find yourself? Would you find yourself over there with that man that had that vineyard, that had that tree that had no fruit on it? begging, please, please give me one more year. I'll dung around it. I'll fertilize. I'll give me one more year. Please give me. Will that be our text? Will it be our text? Will it be our text? Those five foolish verses. Oh God. Oh please. I want oil in my vessel. My vessel's dry. Will that be our text? Don't be so quick to try to just tell everybody, you know. And I think I told you this, but me and my wife were talking several weeks ago. I don't know, a couple months ago, we was chit-chatting about some folks in the church and talking as a pastor and the pastor's wife. And we were just chit-chatting, man, I wish this, you know, I wish y'all. And I just stopped. I told my wife, I said, you know what? If they was just perfect like us. You know what she did? She rolled her eyes and said, yeah, right. She said, it was a joke. Sometimes we get in an area that we think we're just, I'm trying to help us. I mean, if we can really dig down, where would it be our text? Where would be the text that you take for you? I mean, if you could just preach right, right here is this verse right here. This explains me more than any man. But how many knows our flesh? We like to try to preach. We can straighten everybody out. Am I talking to anybody? Has anybody else ever been guilty of that? I'm gonna raise my hand first. Not as a pastor, but there's been times I thought I could figure everybody else's. I could just really. Well, if that was my teenage girl, I'd tell you what I'd do. If that was my boy, bless God, he wouldn't. Wait a second. You might get to live that. The old preacher man used to say, let your words be sweet because you might have to eat them one day. I just tell you, bless God, if she was mine. You know what I've learned? Mercy goes a long way. And we all have the same temptations. And we all have to get all that stuff in our mind. And sometimes I heard Scotty Groom say, and I've never forgot, this has helped me. I'd like to help somebody. If you don't remember anything I say, don't forget this. Scotty Groom says, Kevin Bloomfield's first pastor, great man of God. Oh, Scotty said, church, you're going to fight demons, real devils. But he said, you got to watch out for them ghosts that ain't real. Like Brother James said a while ago, and all those things in your mind, Brother James, them ghosts that really, you know, there's a lot of ghosts that's real. There are a lot of demons. But how many knows that sometimes you fight ghosts that ain't real? She don't like me. He don't like me. She knows how he looked at me. Knows how he shook my hand. He shook my hand a little strange. Do you remember when Jesus was around the Last Supper and all those was there? It was this 12 disciples, right? I never had thought of this until I read this. And Jesus said, one of you shall betray me. If that would have been in today's church world, Andrew would have spoke up and said, Is it him? Is it him? No, but they had a different attitude. They all said, is it I? Whew. What about when that preacher goes to preaching? Oh, that's hitting her back here. That's hitting him back here. Well, we should be saying, is it I, Lord? I loved that when I read that. I circled that and put V, 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 G. If you look in my Bible, if I was to die, and you look in my Bible and my sermon notes, if I've got V, G, that means very good. It's all in there, all in my notes. It's my own little private. And sometimes I'll put VV. Sometimes I'll put VVV. Sometimes I'll put five V's. In other words, that was one of the points. When I walk back up at that point, that's one of the points I don't want to forget in this message. Is it I, Lord? Paul, he knew about that preaching to others and forgetting about it because lest he should become a, now you can stand. This altar is open. Let's come pray. Come on. Let's search your hearts. Come on up. That's it. Come on. You're welcome. Help me, Lord. Have I been preaching to others, Lord? Have I been trying to straighten everybody else's marriage and home and finances out, God?
Keep my spirit right.
What about me, God?
I don't want.
Because when I stand before you, I'm not going to give account of James or Earl or Brad, Daniel. I'm not going to give account of anybody else, Lord. But it's going to be me, my heart, my life.
Tell me when it's fine.
It's going to be. I'm going to be judged with every idle word that I have spoken. Sing it again. Listen. Keep my spirit right, Lord. That's what I want.
Oh, Lord, I pray.
The Lord, I pray.
Keep my spirit right.
Do you hear that song? Keep my spirit right.
I don't want to go astray.
Come on.
In the midst of the day.
Could it be somebody here, you're trying to figure out everybody's problems?
Or the heat of the night.
All the church problems. Why don't you just give it to God? You ever think that'd be best?
Lord, keep my spirit
Lord,
I
quit worrying about it. I'm just going to give it to you. Well, if they just do this in church, if they would do that, if she would do that,
Lord,
if they would do that, if they quit buying it, if they wouldn't be just hush.
Keep my spirit right.
You got enough to keep right with your own family and your own marriage and your own children and your own finances.